You know, Jesus said, come, follow me. And that's our theme for this year, following Jesus, responding to that simple yet elegant invitation that Jesus extends to all of us. We talked about Matthew, the fourth chapter, beginning at verse 13. I just want to read that again very quickly. And my word, what did I do? I just want to read that very quickly and make just one point from this passage. Matthew, the fourth chapter. One day Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. There he saw two brothers. They were Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. They were throwing a net in the lake. They were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said. I will make you fishers of people. Totally transformative. At once they left their nets and they followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers. They were James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee. As they were preparing their nets, Jesus called out to them. Right away, they left their boat, their father, and followed Jesus. Jesus went all over Galilee, taught in their synagogues. He preached the good news of God's kingdom. He healed every illness and sickness that the people had. News about him spread all over Syria. You can imagine why. People brought to him all that were ill and with different kinds of sicknesses. Some were suffering great pains. Others were controlled by demons. Some were shaking wildly. Others couldn't move at all. Jesus healed all of them. Large crowds followed him. Some people came from Galilee, from the area known as the Ten Cities, and from Jerusalem and Judea. Others came from across the Jordan River. You know, Jesus is an amazing character. And he makes a simple request. Come follow me. And you know, that request to follow Jesus is not one that you can put off. And if you hear that request, you can't really say, I'll come later. A lot of requests we say, I'll come later, but Jesus' request is not like that. Matthew, the 8th chapter. Jesus encounters some people who kind of wanted to follow him, but they wanted to put it off. This is what he said. A teacher of the law came to him and he said, teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Another disciple said to him, Lord, first let me go bury my father. Jesus told him, follow me. Let the dead bury their dead. The fact of the matter is that Jesus' call to follow him, and a call to follow him now, is not a call that we respond to rashly. It's not an ill-advised, barely considered decision. I was in a hotel in Las Vegas. We were there for a conference and we're standing in the lobby and overheard two people were talking in the lobby. One was a fellow that was dressed in a tuxedo and looked to be like he was a groom. The other one was wearing this beautiful dress, looked like she might have been a bride. And the fellow said to the girl, yeah, but you said you wanted to marry me. And she looked at him and said, but I was stoned. It's not that kind of decision. You can't make this decision without thinking about it. Now, I don't know whether they had gotten married. I don't know anything about the whole situation. But it's some decisions you have to think about. Luke, the 14th chapter, large crowds following Jesus. Turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yea, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you sit down first and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? If you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and was unable to finish. Suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose the one that comes against him with 20,000? He's not able, he'll send a delegation while the other's still a long way off, and he'll ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. This is not a rash decision, but it's one that we make with careful consideration. So Jesus does say, come now. But understand, this is not the pressure that a huckster uses. You've probably all been in the situation where you were thinking about buying a car, and every time you turned around, the salesman was saying, yeah, but can you buy it today? Can you buy it today? If I give you a deal today, like the deal's going to go away if you don't accept it today. That's not Jesus. Truth will always be truth. And if it's a good deal today, it'll be a good deal tomorrow. Truth is the same today and tomorrow. Don't be afraid to consider the situation. Don't respond rashly, but do respond now. Ask yourself some questions. If I was convinced that I had found the love of my life, would I wait 25 years to ask her if she'd marry me? If I told you you can be cured of cancer, would you say, yeah, let me think about it. Thinking I'll put it off for a while. Why would you wait to serve God? He offers you freedom from oppressive sin. He offers you freedom from a horrible life, abusing and being abused. Why not come to Him? Come to Him today. Don't wait to serve God. It's a call that we need to respond to now, and one that we need to respond to in considered fashion. Well, we're going to take a break here from our discussion of biblical information.